2 weeks ago, we felt God affirm us as God's good and beloved children. Last week, that affirmation allowed us to accept God's holy invitations, which most often originate in our own brokenness. This week, we ask where those invitations lead us. And we find our third word in this six-part series, and that third word is mission. In church lingo, the word mission is usually followed by the word trip. Perhaps you went on a mission trip as a teenager to a Native American reservation, or spent a week painting a church in a town in El Salvador. When I was in seminary, I went on a mission trip to New Orleans a few months after Hurricane Katrina. The group went down with Habitat for Humanity, thinking we were going to be rebuilding homes. Turns out it was too soon to begin rebuilding, so we spent much of the week mucking putrid, knee-deep mud and silt out of waterlogged homes that were on streets whose road signs had been ripped off their poles by 100-mile-an-hour winds. We wore white coveralls, masks, and plastic gloves, which we duct-taped to our wrists. We spent the days bent over our shovels, thinking of nothing more than the next scoop of muck, because if you tried to think bigger thoughts, you became suddenly and irreversibly overwhelmed by the sodden despair clinging to every surface. Everywhere you looked, the 5-month-old disaster was still raw, still fresh. When we returned to Virginia, it felt like coming home from a trip to Mars. I woke up the morning after we got back, and I wondered if it had all been just a bad dream. And then I rose and felt the bone-deep ache in my muscles, and I knew it was no dream. We had been there. We had helped. A little. For that week in January 2006, bending over a shovel in a house on the outskirts of New Orleans was my mission from God. I have no doubt about that. I bring up this particular week-long excursion, however, to point out just how atypical it is. Most people never go on mission trips. If you do regularly, you'll go probably a single week a year. I've only been on one other since New Orleans. Surely, there's more to mission than just the trips. When Jesus invites those 4 unsuspecting fishermen on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he doesn't say, "Follow me for a week." He just says, "Follow me." And then he gives them their mission. "And I will make you fish for people." What Jesus offers is not just a break from their nets, but a complete change in their lives as they know them. Simon, Andrew, James, and John do not sign up for a mission trip. They sign up for mission lives. This is the opportunity Jesus offers us today. He offered it yesterday too, and he will offer it again tomorrow. He doesn't say, "Follow me for an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning." He doesn't say, "Follow me only when you are around your church friends." He doesn't say, "Follow me only when it's convenient." He just says, "Follow me." The invitation embedded in those 2 words promises a life of meaning, of service, of sacrifice, and of joy. Not an easy life, but a full life, a life of purpose. And all Jesus wants in return is you, all of you, everything that makes you, you. your gifts and talents as well as your pain and brokenness, your hopes and dreams as well as your fears and nightmares. Offering everything we are to Jesus helps God tailor our missions to our lives. God only uses the parts of us that we give back to God. So, if we want our missions to be authentic outpourings of ourselves for God's work in the world, then we have to be willing to give everything, and I mean everything, back to God. There may be a dark corner of your life that you don't want anyone to see. But shining a light into that dark corner may be the exact mission God yearns for you to accomplish. It may be painful. It may lead you to places you never thought you'd go, but it will be your mission. And because you will be following Jesus, he will arrive there ahead of you. Like the original disciples, when we sign up to follow Jesus, we sign up for mission lives. But before you cringe away from the level of commitment that Jesus calls forth from us, let's consider those original disciples. For them, following Jesus was an immersive experience. They lived with him. They ate with him. They could tell us if he snored or which sandal he always put on first. And still, they often misunderstood him. They disbelieved his power and even abandoned him in his own hour of need. And these were the fellows who knew him in person. Living mission lives does not mean living perfect lives. Like I said, Jesus wants us, warts and all, to follow him. The brokenness the disciples exhibit in the gospel is the same brokenness that leads us to God's holy invitations and then on to our missions. Jesus' own mission led him to the cross. And it is the image of the cross that I'd like to dwell on for a moment. Think of the vertical plank of the cross as all the possible missions God could call you to. Everything that leads to healing and reconciliation in this world. Now think of the horizontal plank as the entirety of yourself that you have to give to the one who invited you to follow him. The spot where the two planks meet is the center of your mission life. And it is also the spot where Christ gave up his life in order to give you yours. The center of the cross is not a pleasant place. Neither will be many of the places where we find ourselves engaged in our mission lives. But just as Jesus transformed the cross from a symbol of death and brokenness into a symbol of life and wholeness, Jesus has already gone ahead of us to our mission fields and prepared the way for us to participate in this same transformation. All we need do is leave our nets and follow him there. As you contemplate the mission God is inviting you to accomplish with your life, remember these things. Because your authentic mission life resides at the center of the cross you have taken up, it will be something uniquely tailored for your gifts and passions. You will identify with it because it will recall something about you that is or was broken. And though it might be the most difficult thing you have ever done, you will still feel the glow of rightness about it, even when everything is going wrong. Here's a final story about my own awakening to a life of mission. About 5 months after the trip to New Orleans, I found myself in the pastoral care office of Children's Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, for a summer residency as a chaplain. There were 8 of us, all young and zealous. We had just gotten our hospital badges, but surely there was a mistake. The badges said chaplain, not chaplain intern, not chaplain in training, just chaplain. You see, our advisors borrowed their teaching technique from mother birds. On day one, they flung us out of the nest to see if we could fly. We had our mission. It was right there on the badge. We were chaplains, like it or not. But of course, we could not fly. Within a week, each of us had crash landed. We had met children living with and dying from cancer. We had seen disease and trauma ravage their small bodies. I had witnessed my first death, a 3-month-old baby boy. We brand new chaplains had a mission to care for and comfort these young patients and their families. But we could not fly. And so we plummeted. We hit rock bottom. And at rock bottom is where our mission truly began, where Jesus was calling us to follow him. Because when we hit rock bottom, we found our young patients and their families there. Amen.